I have to echo the sentiments of my brother Jake that it is an extreme blessing and privilege to be here, to be with the most important people in my life, and that is my church family. And it is it's encouraging to see other people who make the choice to believe again today, because it's not easy. Especially when we look at the story that we are being called to believe. Especially when we look at not the story that we are being called to believe about someone else, but the story that we are being called to believe about ourselves. The story that we are called to join. And that's what I want to focus on for the remainder of this Easter Advent season, as we prepare for perfection, as we prepare for Easter and the celebration of the resurrection. And as we talk about this idea of being living sacrifices, and it really, it's more than an idea, but it's a reality for us, because it is what God has commanded us to be. He's asked us to present ourselves to Him as a living, breathing, walking, talking, interacting with others, sacrifice to Him. And so as we look at what it means for us to be living sacrifices, what it means for us to be people who are on a journey, on a mission, with a goal in mind to get somewhere for a purpose. And we talk about this preparation for perfection. And we look at the transfiguration of Jesus. And remember last week, we kind of touched on this a little bit in the time that we had. But if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9. And I really appreciate Spencer reading the verses leading up to the transfiguration, because this is really the crowning moment of Christ's preparing to be perfected, preparing to be the perfect sacrifice. You see, He was born perfect. He lived that perfect life, and He went through all of the ups and downs of that perfect life. And then this transfiguration that we read about last week, that's in Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36, where He takes His inner circle of disciples, of apostles, and they go up on this mountain, and there He glows before them. The Bible says that His clothing became as white as lightning, and they heard the voice of God. And Moses and Elijah appeared, and they talked to Him. They talked to Jesus about the Bible says, His coming passing. What they were talking about was what it was like to die, and what Jesus could look forward to as a man that's going to die. Because that's what Moses and Elijah had been through. And it's an interesting passage, to say the least. But it's this moment where the perfection of Jesus becomes this, for lack of a better term, this shining reality. And what He talks about before this gives us an insight into the lives that He's asking us to live. Because if we are to be Christ followers, we're always living towards Calvary. Jesus says in 21, in verse 21 of chapter 9 that Spencer's read, he warned them not to tell anyone of this whole Messiah thing. Because Peter, he comes up to, Jesus is always wanting to know what the word on the street is. What are people saying about me? And so they tell Him, this is what people are saying. And Jesus says, well, what do you say? And He says, well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You are God's chosen. You are the Savior, the Redeemer. And He says, all right, you're right. But don't tell anybody that. And He tells them why. Son of man must suffer many things and be rejected And then he's going to be crucified. And then he's going to be raised up. And he's telling all this to let us know that if we're going to follow him, we have always got to have Calvary in mind. Our lives are not about just being good people and being good citizens and being a good example. Our lives are preparing us for our own Calvary. Jesus says that this is what I'm headed towards. There's going to come a day. There's going to come this time in my life when it's going to go from bad to worse. And I'm going to get beaten and rejected and despised and all of these things. And then I'm going to be crucified. And then he tells us that if we're going to be followers of his, we better be willing to go through the exact same thing. Because he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. You see, what Jesus is telling us is that kingdom citizens are the original doomsday preppers. You know, there's all these shows on TV about, you know, preppers, and I've talked about that, those guys and ladies who, you know, they stockpile stuff and food and fuel and build bunkers, and they've got like a whole, crazy uncle room full of guns and ammunition, and they just can never ever have enough guns, they can never ever have enough bullets, they can never have enough, you know, MREs and all this stuff, and they're preparing for a doomsday that may or may not happen in their lifetime. But there is a day that will happen for us. And God is telling us, Jesus is telling us that you need to prepare for this day. It's coming and it's a fact. There's a time that we will face trials. We will face suffering. And he tells us it will be of a biblical proportion. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to be preparing for that. And so this morning I want to talk about three realities of preparing for perfection. Preparing for this day that's coming. Preparing ourselves to be this living sacrifice. The first thing that he illustrates to us in being prepared for perfection is that preparing for perfection is listening to Jesus. As I talked about last week, here on the Mount of Transfiguration, God speaks. And very rarely does God speak out loud, audibly, so that everyone can hear. Now, he speaks, you know, to us in prayer and through a lot of ways, but rarely is the Bible recorded where the voice of God is heard audibly, out loud. And it's the exact same thing that he said at the baptism of Jesus. This is my Son, whom I love. But here he adds something to it. He says, listen to him. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be this living sacrifice, if you want to be a person who's walking the walk and living the life towards Calvary, being this person is listening to Jesus. And Jesus says a lot of things throughout His ministry. He says a lot of things while He's alive. He says things after His death. Jesus speaks to us in Scripture in a lot of ways. Jesus says to love one another. Jesus says to think of others. That's what the Bible tells us when He says that our attitude should be that of Christ, who emptied Himself. He took on the form of a servant. Didn't think too highly of Himself. Jesus says to forgive one another. Jesus says for us not to rely on ourselves for our salvation. If we're leaning towards, if we're living our lives with Calvary in mind, our own Calvary, our denial of self, our cross carrying, following Jesus, we've got to be listening to Him. And He's very precise in His words. One of the things that you know, we talk about and preach about is studying the Bible. And you know, there's passages in Timothy, you know, study to be approved and be students of the Word and study like the Bereans and all. One of the things that I believe with all of my heart that we need to be doing on a daily basis is reading the red letters in our Bibles. Finding the places where Jesus is speaking, where He is talking. Underline those. Write those down. Memorize those. Live by those. Because He was the ultimate preparer for the day that is coming. God says, listen to Him. If you want to be like Him, listen to Him. And also, not only is preparing for this perfection, listening to Jesus, it anticipates suffering. In Luke 9, 21 through 27, as like I said, as Spencer has read this morning, Jesus is very clear about what a life as a living sacrifice, a life as a kingdom citizen, He's very clear about what it looks like. And not only is He very clear about what it looks like for us because He says what it's going to look like for Him, but then He goes on to tell us that, and if you want to follow Him, He says, look, I'm going to be handed over. In a very real way, in a very start here and stop here kind of way, in a linear timeline kind of setting, I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to suffer many things. And I'm going to die. And then I'm going to be raised up. And then in this kind of figurative way, in this sort of analogy of the same kind of way, He said, and if you want anything to do with Me, you're going to have to be willing to let this happen. That's the first thing that He says in verse 23. He says, if anyone would come after Me, he must first deny himself. We have to be willing to suffer. And you know, there are a lot of big mega churches with mega preaching personalities that preach this positive thing, and I'm all about positive thinking, that preach this positive thinking, believe, and this health and wealth, prosperity gospel, that God wants this life for us to be like winning the lottery every day. And you can build an empire of a congregation on that kind of preaching. There's a church in Houston, Texas, the largest congregation in the world right now, over 15,000 members. The preacher there is famous, on TV, writes bestsellers. I went through an exercise about 11 years ago before the church was as big as it is. And I took 52 sermons, a year's worth of sermons, and I printed them all out because they have them on his website in text form, and you can listen to them. I printed them all out, and I read them, and I underlined and I highlighted every time that he preached about sin or suffering, or denying ourselves and picking up a cross. I never had to take my highlighter out of the package. And in preparation for this sermon, it wasn't this week, but it was last week, I did the exact same thing. And I took 52 sermons from 2013 to 2014, and I printed them all off, and I read them, and it's the exact same thing. What people want to hear is that God will pay your cable bill. That He will make this life so easy peasy, lemon squeezy, ain't nothing but a thing. It's simple. But I'm telling you, church, it's not the truth. Jesus said, I'm gonna suffer. And if you're gonna be like Me, you're gonna suffer too. And the question this morning, beloved brothers and sisters, do we spend our lives avoiding suffering or anticipating it? Because as Jake already preached this morning, we are filthy rich. And ridiculously comfortable. And I am more and more convicted as I prepare for the celebration of Easter. I'm more and more convicted that all of our privilege, all of our wealth, all of our suffering avoidance is more of a barrier to Christ than a blessing from Him. Do we anticipate real timeline suffering? Because it's easy for us to say, well, he's just, you know, that's a figure of speech. You know, we think of things like, you know, well, my mother-in-law is coming to live with us. That's just your cross to bear. Now, believe me, I know about mother-in-laws, and sometimes they can feel like crosses. But they're not. A cross is an instrument of torture and death. And as I stand here before you, dressed, polished, I don't look like I'm suffering, do I? I think there's something there that we need to address. We want to be Christ-like. Are we preparing to be made perfect? Or we feel like we've put together a pretty perfect life as it is. Preparing for perfection isn't camping on the mountain. It's hiking through the valley. See, what I'm afraid that I do is I look for and dwell in mountaintop experiences. See, that's what Peter wanted to do. He was up there with him and he saw that, oh man, this is great. And there's Moses and Elijah and God's talking and this is wonderful. Can we build a permanent structure up here? One for you and for Moses and for Elijah. And we can just have this, we can live up here in this gloriousness with God and His and talking and these great cloud of witnesses and you and your glowing splendor. And Jesus said, shh. Not going to live up here. We got to go back down into the valley because that's where life happens. And what a hike it is. I mean, what a hike it truly is. There are two times in the Gospels where Jesus is up on a high mountain. One's at the temptation of Christ where Satan takes him up there. It says, bow to me, and I'll give you all of this. And the last time, God takes Jesus up on a high mountain. It's because you didn't bow to Satan. I'll give you more than anybody's ever seen, ever. They won't even have a way to describe the glory that you will experience. I mean, that's... That's a little taste of the transfer. I mean, they've got no good. I mean, there's no good words to describe what's going on. I mean, we still, more than 2,000 years later, it is hard for us to wrap our minds around what in the world is going on. God says, hike that valley with me. And the glory, the perfection, what I have in store will be like nothing you've ever seen. One of the my most cherished memories of ministry is maybe 9 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, we planned a hiking trip. We called it Highland Trek. And there was and we talked about going out and backpacking through Savage Gulf Natural Area with the teenagers of this church. And there was a very little known new guy that had just come to church that we were still getting to know. I forget his name. It was like Wes, I think it is. Wes. Very new guy. Nobody really knew him. Didn't know what his job really was. He thought he did something outdoors. I thought he mowed, you know, for the parks department or something. So he said, yeah, you got sunscreen, you can go with us. We went on about a 4-day hike where we did almost 20 miles backpacking, living out of, you know, carrying everything we used with 12 or 13 teenagers that had never done anything but stay at a Hampton Inn and maybe a KOA. And it was hard. There was a lot of crying on that trip. And when we finally got Wes to calm down, it was, Chance Baxter almost stepped on a rattlesnake. It was hard. And I remember a quote from J.D. Crabtree when we got back from that trip and we're driving in the van and we smell like garbage and burning tires. And we're just driving and it's terrible. And we ate and we're just driving back and we get through Tullahoma and walking in a gas station parking lot. It's just some random guy, just some dude. And JD's sitting in the front seat and he pokes me. He says, Shane. Said, yeah, what? He said, see that guy right there walking in that parking lot? I'm like, yeah, I do. He said, he has no idea what we've been through. I said, I know, you're right. You know, people just, what a hike. In that hike, we saw some amazing things. We experienced some major amazement. But it was hard. It was hot. It was uncomfortable at times. But we were willing to do it. And the glory on the other side of that, it's indescribable. There's a connection with those kids. When I see them to this day, we went on all kinds of Highland treks after that. But that first one, when nobody knew what to expect, when nobody was prepared for it, it was the hardest one we ever did. And it was the most glorious. Who's the most glorious? God has got perfection waiting for us. If we will prepare for it. If we will live toward Calvary, listening to the voice of Jesus, anticipate suffering. Almost go towards it, because that's how we know we're on the right track. That's how we know that we are on God's path. When we see a hill, climb it. When we see a valley, hike it. That's how we know. God will give us perfection on the other side. This morning, before Dan comes up and leads us in our invitation song, which is Nothing But the Blood. We're not anticipating doing this on our own. We can't at all. One of the things Jesus said, don't rely on yourself. Rely on nothing but the blood of Jesus is all that we have. As we prepare for that, as you think about your response to God's invitation today, as you think about the need for perfection in your life, and as you think about what does it look like to live towards Calvary, will you pray with me? Father, we love you. We lift our hearts, we lift our voices, God, we lift our hands to you this morning. We just ask for your presence, Father, we ask for your voice to ring in our ears. God, we pray that you would guide us on this walk. Father, that you would continually be preparing us for the perfection that you have in store. That we would listen, that we would anticipate, that we would live toward the cross. As we are told in Hebrews chapter 12, that Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. Father, help us. Help us to endure the cross, not to avoid it, not to insulate ourselves from the cross, but Father, to endure it, to scorn the shame, to embrace the suffering, to prepare for perfection. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?